always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. President Trump is in North Carolina to view hurricane damage. Later today, he goes to fire-ravaged Southern California, where a Democratic critic, Governor Gavin Newsom, awaits.
I look forward to being there on the tarmac to thank the president, welcome him, and we're making sure that all the resources he needs for a successful briefing are provided to him.
Two Republican women in the U.S. Senate say they won't support Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth. CBS's Torian Small.
That margin is very small. He can only afford to lose one more Republican senator in order for then J.D. Vance, the vice president, to step in as the president of the Senate to cast that tie-breaking vote.
CBS's Ramey Innocencio says four Israeli hostages are due to be released in Gaza tomorrow.
These four on this list are 19 or 20 years old, abducted from the Nahal Oz military base on October 7, 2023. That's just on the border with northern Gaza.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
Community Stories is taking a holiday break for the month of January. I'm your host, Melissa Kay, and the show will be back in February with more stories from your community. For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following the State of the State address on Wednesday, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers visited Oshkosh to meet with local leaders and community members. Lisa Hale has more.
He told reporters he doesn't know how he would respond to actions that might be brought to the state by the United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, agency. What he does know is that immigrants are an important part of the state's economy and culture.
All I can say is that the people of Wisconsin are concerned about the fact that we have people, immigrants, working in all sorts of industries in the state. We love those people. They're doing good work, whether they're milking cows or doing processing of meats across the state. You name it, they're a major part of our economy. We can't afford to have them scared away and leave our state.
Evers also visited Rhinelander and Milwaukee yesterday to meet with local leaders and community members and discuss how to support local communities in this Year of the Kid.
Beginning in March, travelers flying American Airlines out of the Central Wisconsin Airport will have larger dual-class planes. Operated by Envoy Air, American Airlines will introduce the Embraer 170 aircraft. The number of seats will increase by 15 to a total of 65 passengers and will offer the convenience of first class and main cabin options. They're also increasing the number of flights. Starting on April 4th, American will offer 3 daily flights from CWA to the Chicago O'Hare Hub. CWA officials believe this move is helping position Central Wisconsin Airport as a top-tier regional travel hub. You can find more news and sign up for our weekly newsletter at WFHR.com. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks beat the Heat. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks won their fifth game in a row, 125-96 over the Miami Heat. The Bucks didn't get back to Milwaukee until less than 3 hours before the game after being stuck in a blizzard for 3 days in New Orleans at the team hotel. Damian Lillard led with 29 points and had a pregame speech before the tip-off.
The situation that we were in, you know, the last couple of days is obvious, but you don't want the room to just be quiet and everybody to just kind of go out there and see what's going to happen. So for me, I just wanted to put that energy out there, like, you know, nobody gonna feel bad for us. Ain't no excuses. I don't want to hear I'm tired or I ain't feeling. Like, you got to take the opportunity for the team to even have that type of mentality away. As a leader of a team, you got to let the team know off the rip, like, we not doing that. We not having excuses. I don't care about the flight. I don't care we've been in a hotel. Like, you gotta take that away from the team.
That's the Bucks. Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Increasing clouds today with highs in the upper teens. A bit of light snow or flurries possible tonight. Temperatures holding steady in the teens. On Saturday, a warmer day, but it will be breezy under a mostly cloudy sky. Highs in the upper 20s, mid-20s on Sunday. Current temperature is 6 degrees.
Better begins with the way we live life together, the way we help each other, and the way we inspire and encourage one another. At Aspirus Health, better begins with our dedication to providing expert care that improves lives. establishing healthy families and healthy communities, yours and ours, for a lifetime. Life is a journey, and we're here for you. Better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
To everyone who wants a meal made just for you, let our team member Arish share what makes Culver's special.
We know the best meals are the ones shared with the people you love, like our cook-to-order butter burgers and our real Wisconsin cheese curds and our creamy, fresh, frozen custard. I put the same care into your meal that I would for my own family.
Order ahead on the app or culvers.com for a meal made the Wisconsin way.
From Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
Ooh, let's unplug from the politics and rock some local tunes on Max Inc. This week, we welcome Or Does It Explode and Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Paul Flipwitz. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And you can also call and text directly from the Civic Media app. Go to wherever you get your apps. If you haven't downloaded it yet, it is completely free. Look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Download the app. And again, you can call and text directly to whatever show you're listening to all across the state. 20 stations across the state of Wisconsin.
Nice.
Dan Schaefer is here. He joins us every Friday from the Recombobulation area. Also Civic Media's political editor. After the 11:30 news, you posted on Twitter about something the manliest of manly men, Jesse Waters from Fox, has opinions. And we're going to dive into that a little bit. I think it's, you know, manly men rules, Dan, are very important.
Very important.
You can't get that man card if you don't follow the manly men rules. And Jesse Waters is apparently the manliest of manly men.
Really the beacon of it.
I think
that is the individual we think of when we think of masculinity in America.
It was Clint Eastwood.
John Wayne.
John Wayne, Mr. Clean, and now Jesse Waters.
Yeah, absolutely.
The bald head. He really exudes authority.
Sure.
I like it.
That's after 11:30, but lots of other things to cover that have been going on in Wisconsin.
It's been a discombobulating week, Jane.
No,
it's been
4 years of this.
Discombobulating week.
Where would you like, goodness. Where would you like to start?
Well, you know, we'll get into some of the Trumpy stuff, some of the national stuff, and some of all of that. But let's start with the state of the state, because this is Wisconsin, and we're going to be talking about what's happening in Wisconsin. And the state of the state address is a big deal. It's the seventh time now that Tony Evers has delivered the state of the state address. And I think it was maybe his longest speech. I saw somebody out there.
Someone said it was close to an hour. It was 1,000 words longer than his longest previous speech.
Oh, we're doing word count. Well, if he's blowing through the word count stuff, he can also write for the Recombobulation area.
But self-burn.
Yes, that's right. But I think it was a pretty compelling speech, I thought. And there was a lot of items there. You know, I think part of this is setting the stage for the year ahead, right? And what are going to be the big issues that we're going to be talking about in state government? You know, his budget address is coming in February. And so this is kind of the prequel to that in a lot of ways, right? And so I thought it was, you know, he put out a bunch of a number of proposals that are going to be in the budget. $300 million for mental health services in schools, I think, is a big, 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 big deal. You know, we always hear from the right after there's a school shooting, we need more money for mental health.
Absolutely.
Let's see it.
And then they never fund it.
Yep. Another one, you know, proposing $500 million for childcare. This was something that state assembly candidates in swing districts, Republican state assembly candidates in swing districts, were campaigning on. I saw an ad from Bob Donovan, Republican candidate. That's right, Jane. Bob Donovan, Republican candidate in Milwaukee, had campaigned saying he wants to fund childcare. Let's see it. Let's see how that's going to shake out. Are you guys skeptical of those campaign ads? I'm looking at your faces.
Well, Bob Donovan's
thinking that you might be.
But Bob Donovan's just going to be able to say, "Well, I supported it, but you know, the rest of my colleagues didn't."
Yeah.
So
yeah,
then
yeah.
I'm off the hook. I'm off the hook.
I think that's going to be an interesting aspect of these, you know, of this governing under new maps is our people who were in close races like Bob Donovan, like a number of other state assembly and Senate representatives, are they going to come to the center on this? You know, Evers talked about fair maps in his address quite a bit. You know, the first quote that he had really in the whole speech was, "We're beginning a new year with a new legislature elected under new fair maps."
So for now,
we'll see if those are going to, you know, impact the way governing goes in Wisconsin, judging by a number of the comments from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
Well, and that's where
perhaps not.
I think Republicans moving closer to the center will never happen as long as Robin Voss is in power.
I tend to agree with you on that.
Yeah, it's not even going to come close.
But, you know, there were a number of things that stood out to me, too. And I think, you know, there were some headlines this week talking about like, oh, you know, Evers took a jab at Trump or blah, 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 whatever. He didn't really talk about Trump really at all in that speech until the very end. So there at I think it was like the 54 minute mark.
Wow.
In the speech, he talked about immigration.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really interesting moment in the speech. I clipped it and put it on some of my social media this week because I think I have been critical of Democrats in a lot of ways for their not just their position on immigration, their inability to articulate a position on immigration.
Yes.
And what I see as them. So often throughout the 2024 campaign, you know, they saw that they were losing on this issue in the polling and whatever. Mm-hmm. And instead of, you know, putting up some sort of counter argument, I think they kind of just ceded the ground and wanted to change the subject a lot of times, which I was pretty frustrated by.
Yeah.
I thought they really needed to put up something as a real alternative instead of just kind of being, oh, we're the ones who really get things done at the border. And I just don't think that message really
landed. We're not as mean as them at the border.
Yeah, like the Republican light type of messaging. Yep. I just don't think that really worked. But I think Democrats are kind of struggling to find a path forward. And I thought it was really interesting. Evers didn't really put a lot of like substantive proposals to this, but it was more of just kind of like the nod to, you know, the importance of immigrants to our state's history and our state's economy, mm-hmm. and just like treating people humanely who are trying to come here and be citizens and all of that. So I thought that was a really interesting moment in the speech because, you know, we're seeing these debates happen nationally. Oh, do you move to the center? Or do you move to do this and that? Is it a messaging thing? And I thought it was really interesting the response that Evers got bringing up, you know, the history of immigration in this state and just talking about like we're all here from, you know,
someplace else.
Right. And I think that element of the conversation, at least, has really been missing. So I thought that was a really interesting way to approach this. And I think, you know, I think there's going to be legislation coming from Voss, from others on immigration, on, you know, really, you know, tightening things up from a law enforcement perspective and all of that. So I think it's just going to be an interesting debate at the state level as we're kind of like downhill from what's happening now in Washington, D.C.
An estimated 70,000 undocumented immigrants live in Wisconsin, about 47,000 of those are employed. This is according to the Nonpartisan Migration Policy Institute. The top industries that employ undocumented workers in Wisconsin, some 11,000 in manufacturing, some 8,000 in professional scientific management, waste management services, about 5,000 in food service, about 5,000 in construction, and about 5,000 in agriculture.
And from what I understand, if I'm not mistaken, the numbers that I looked at, Wisconsin alone, those individuals contributed somewhere around $220 million in taxes.
Right. They pay sales tax.
Yes.
Yep. And so I think that's, you know, people are talking about that too. So I think that's going to be, it's going to be interesting to see as Democrats kind of struggle to find what their message on this is. I think it's kind of an interesting place to start here in Wisconsin from some of what Tony Evers was saying.
Going back to the governor's State of the State speech on Tuesday night, afterwards, Greg and I talked about it a little bit. It seems to me that sometimes the amounts that the governor asks for is a huge reach.
Yeah.
And Greg said, but that gives him a position to negotiate.
Right.
Do you see it that way? Because when I hear $500 million, I can see Robin Voss going, that's never going to happen.
Kick rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
kick rocks.
Yeah. It is interesting. I think that was part of the discussion around the proposals from the state superintendent for their office's budget as well. So I think it's, budgets are policy documents, right? And so I think part of it is just an aspirational, like, what would we like to do?
Yeah.
Best
in
case
a perfect
scenario,
world.
Perfect world and all that. But I think, the childcare number, just as one example, $500 million for childcare wouldn't be all that different. I mean, it's a higher number than what childcare was funded at under childcare counts, which the Wisconsin Policy Forum recognized as like a terrifically run and meaning program that Republicans decided, we're just not going to fund this.
Yeah, we don't like that
at all. And so I think that is, as that kind of became a campaign issue in a lot of these, down ballot type of races last year, I think it's going to be interesting to see how that comes out. But yeah, it's a lot of, and you always hear this in the Republican response is just, it's the liberal wish list of all of these things that they want to do, like feed kids and provide childcare and extend Medicaid for new moms and things like
selfish,
that.
Selfish, Dan. Just
I know.
Just
the far left wish list of feeding kids.
Well, the Republicans granted more money than in a generation to education, which doesn't mean that they weren't starving the educational system to begin with and just gave them some money. So Robin Voss deserves some credit.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area. He is also Civic Media's political editor. In about the 2 minutes we have before we go to break, Tom Tiffany has some thoughts about birthright citizenship.
He does. This is really one of the I did a video about this at for Civic Media this week. The Recombobulation area minute, which you hear on the airwaves.
Yes, you do.
A number of times here. I think this is one of the big things that I think is a major, major problem is the Trump attack on birthright citizenship and making it so that if you are born in America, you're not an American. Basically.
It's in the Constitution.
And Tom Tiffany is putting himself at the center of this effort from a congressional level. So there was executive action on this, and then a number of congressional Republicans are introducing something there, too. And Tom Tiffany putting himself right at the center of it.
Yeah. Which he never usually does. He's a very quiet man, sits in the back, doesn't really say much.
Until he slips something in.
Yeah. He's been getting more and more vocal. There's been some chatter about him potentially wanting to make a run for statewide office, perhaps for governor in 2026.
Yeah,
I've heard a little bit about that. It's going to be, but I think, this is a distinct Wisconsin connection to a top line headline issue that is happening in the Trump administration in Washington, D.C. This effort to bulldoze the Constitution and end birthright citizenship.
Did you see the judge's response to the Trump administration?
The Reagan appointee judge in Washington State? Yes, I did.
Who essentially said, you people are Looney Tunes. It's nuts.
It is blatantly unconstitutional and it's despicable and I think fundamentally anti-American when it really comes down to it. I think, this is a nation of immigrants and we have built this country, people from all over the world coming here and trying to make a life and find the American dream. I think this action is fundamentally anti-American.
We're going to continue our conversation and keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. Don't go away. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. ziplining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from, with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Discombobulated. It's grounds to be frustrated. I could be so elated.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We will wrap up the show around 11:51 with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the That Bites edition. Right now, though, we are recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political editor. And before you joined us, Dan, we did talk a little bit about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, April 1st. Make your plans now to cast your ballot. Very, very critically important election if we don't want to go backwards. And all of a sudden, we have no problems, apparently, with big outside money coming in to fund one particular race. But we cared about it before. And now that it's Elon Musk, apparently it's all good.
We've got Elon Musk weighing in on the Wisconsin Supreme Court race yesterday on the platform that he owns. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. But I think this is going to, you know, the fact that he is weighing in on this at all, I think just goes to show how important this race is going to be on a national stage. I think this is going to be one of the first big tests at the state level for the reaction to the Trump 2.0, this Trump second term, and all of this. And you know, he, of course, went out there and made these accusations in a way, or he made some accusations of voter fraud, which, you know, of course, Republicans over and over and over again are going to make these accusations of voter fraud about 2020.
Even though there's no proof.
So, Elon Gableman was making these accusations of voter fraud in his comments. And I think it is also, you know, the way talking about voter fraud in this context is a good reminder of what happened in 2020 with the conservative majority, the then conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It took that conservative Justice Brian Hagedorn siding with the liberal justices to end that. It was a 4-3 vote. Three conservative justices voted to, you know, overturn the election. It, you know, we would have, if Hagedorn hadn't had sided with the conservatives, as he usually does, we would have been in a genuine constitutional crisis.
Absolutely.
At that moment. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters on, you know, in some of the comments that he's been making. Yeah. So if you want your vote to count going forward in the state of Wisconsin, it's going to be really important to show up and vote on April 1st and be aware of the connections that are here in this particular race. And I think the right is going to put this front and center and say, if we get the Trump coalition to come out on April 1st, we can win this race. And I think it is going to be, you know, is important to have certain checks and balances in place. It is important, you know, that the work that the majority on this court has done in the last couple of years since that shift took place with the Janet Protasiewicz election. But, you know, this type of spotlight, I think, is going to be really important as we go forward. And it is important for just like basics of democracy, right? Basics of, does your vote count? Well, and I think, you know, people are going to have a lot of different concerns about like what the Trump administration is going to mean for voting rights going forward. Well, here's your first big test of it. And it's pretty clear. Brad Schimmel siding with January 6th insurrectionists.
They weren't treated fairly.
Saying they weren't treated fairly. Now we have these pardons of people who attacked members of law enforcement, even as Schimmel is touting, you know, putting members of law enforcement in his campaign ads, things like that.
All with completely pristine backgrounds, might I add. Just completely pristine.
I would encourage you to look that one up, see if anybody is accused of sexual harassment,
yeah.
I believe.
Oh, yeah.
That he put in those ads. Yeah, so I think if you're upset about Elon Musk this week, let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Well, and I think again it's important to point out the hypocrisy of the Republicans who were all against Mark Zuckerberg providing money to help municipalities run their elections. That's what that money was for. This was grant money that Mark Zuckerberg provided for municipalities to maybe hire more workers and print out more ballots. Now we got the Musk bucks coming in. I want to hear the exact same outcry and freak out from the Republicans about what we don't need his money here. He doesn't live here. He shouldn't have any say in what goes on in Wisconsin politics.
If I may be so clear, though, the defense would be Mark Zuckerberg was putting his money into how our elections are being run versus this is just Elon Musk dumping millions of dollars into elections where Republicans have no problem with. They've never had a problem with
buying an election.
Yes, they have zero problem with that. As long as those
with money
Musk
in
bucks,
politics generally.
Yeah, as long as those Musk bucks don't make their way into municipalities to make elections
easier
to run.
Yeah,
so
well, God,
that's where they draw the line. Yeah. That's where they draw the line.
And it was always so funny to me that people think of Mark Zuckerberg as some sort of like big time woke lib.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Give me a break. This guy has always been, you know, pretty conservative leaning and just like going wherever the wind blows to try to like, you know, curry favor and public opinion and all of that. And like, you know, he was front row for the, you know, Trump, Trump inauguration, and to think that he was somehow trying to pull the strings to like get Trump not elected, like give me a break.
Well, I think the one thing that all these billionaire bros have in common is their overwhelming self-interest.
Yes.
That is what binds them all together.
Yes.
It's about me and my company and how much money I can make. That is where their self-interest is, not for the good of the country and certainly not for the good of the American people.
And the recognition that Trump is a very transactional.
What have you done for me lately?
This is the kind way of saying he's corrupt. Saying he's very transactional. Yeah. And so coming in, you know, dumping $1 million into the, you know, inauguration fund, whatever it might be. You know, I'm sure it has nothing to do with any of the legal battles that Mark Zuckerberg and the Meta company and all that are embroiled in.
That would be wrong.
No, that would be wrong. Yeah.
That in the adulation of the Trump neophytes is much more. It's quicker and without any conditions. Whereas on the left, they'd be like, "Well, Mark, I don't know about Mark Zuckerberg. He gave Trump money. They love him. That's it. Unconditional.
Now you're in the club. News is coming up next. When we return, Dan Schaefer will still be here. Manly men rules for manly men. That's all coming up.
I'll go.
Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There's a new bill in the works to allow politicians to drop out of political races. Savannah Tomei Olson explains.
Lawmakers have introduced a bill that would change Wisconsin election law to allow candidates to get off the ballot. You'll remember last year, Robert F. Kennedy dropped out of the race and supported Donald Trump. After that, he asked to get his name removed from Wisconsin ballots. But the Wisconsin Elections Commission said no. They said, according to the law, the only way we can drop your name is if you died. Kennedy even filed a lawsuit, and Wisconsin courts agreed. Well, now Republicans in the state legislature have introduced a new bill that would allow people to be removed from the ballot if they provide a sworn statement to the commission and pay a fee. They'd have to file the paperwork by mid-June to get their name removed for an August primary, and by the end of August to get off the ballot for a November election.
While salt may help keep our roads safe in the winter, using too much can cause problems in our water supply. Next week is Winter Salt Week.
It's a week where people from across the country raise awareness around both the problems of salt pollution as well as a number of the salt reduction solutions that are out there.
That's Allison Madison, program manager with Wisconsin Saltwise. She said part of the education during Salt Week is helping those who deal with our roads understand the best ways to utilize salt.
First, really tackling snow and ice with mechanical tools. So getting out there and plowing as much snow as possible so that there's a lot less material left behind.
Madison said many municipalities are treating roads with salt brine before winter storms. She said that works like cooking spray, preventing the bond between the snow and the pavement, making it easier to remove. Because the salt is diluted, municipalities are able to reduce the overall amount of salt they use in a season. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Oscar nominations came out yesterday. 10 movies were nominated for Best Picture. But in the Best Supporting Actor category, there were 5 nominees, including Yuri Borisov for Anora, Edward Norton for his role opposite Timothy Chalamet in the Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown. Guy Pearce was nominated for his role in The Brutalist. Kieran Culkin for the comedy drama A Real Pain. And his Succession co-star Jeremy Strong drew a nomination for his part in The Apprentice. A Complete Unknown, The Brutalist, and Anora all drew Best Picture nominations as well. In the Best Supporting Actor category, it was more good news for A Complete Unknown as Monica Barbaro was nominated, to no one's surprise. Ariana Grande got a nod for her role in the blockbuster Wicked. Felicity Jones for The Brutalist. Isabella Rossellini is up for her role in Conclave. And after showing her musical side, the Academy recognized Zoe Saldana for her role in Amelia Perez. Every film these actresses were in was also nominated for Best Picture. Nice job, girls. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Increasing clouds today with highs in the upper teens. A bit of light snow or flurries possible tonight. Temperatures holding steady in the teens. On Saturday, a warmer day, but it will be breezy under a mostly cloudy sky. Highs in the upper 20s, mid-20s on Sunday. Currently, it's 8 degrees.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Kim Shefchik from Doctors in Recital, and it's a bar band Friday night, which means our pal Terry Barr drops by with new music and sparkling conversation. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call, text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Basketball action tomorrow night. Wisconsin hopes hosting Nebraska. Our broadcast starts at 11 a.m. You can catch the game on WLAK in Amory.
Amory.
Thank you. WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WRJN here in Racine, and also WRCE in Richland Center, Wisconsin, hosting Nebraska tomorrow night in men's basketball. Our broadcast starts at 11 a.m. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political editor, joins us every Friday at this time to recombobulate many, many different things. And there was the big story earlier this week and still getting some fallout. She's made national news now. She's made national news. Meteorologist from CBS 58 was fired after Elon made what a lot of people agree look like a Nazi salute.
Mm-hmm.
And she posted on her personal page about this, dropped in quite a few profanities, a lot of F-bombs.
Sure.
And they fired her.
They did.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously,
her name is Sam Cuffell, by the way.
Sam Cuffell. We're characterizing this as the Cuffell kerfuffle.
I like it.
Yeah,
I do too.
It works.
And I, you know, obviously, there's a lot of criticism that needs to be go around here. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, CBS 58 made a ridiculous decision, firing Sam for this. I think Sam Cuffell's been she's a terrific meteorologist. She really engages with people on social media. I think she's just has a really smart approach to these things, and you know, firing her over this is just absolutely ridiculous. You know, there are a number of publications all over the country that are making the very same claim that she did on her personal social media. Now, you know, maybe there's a contract, something like that in there. I'm not aware of anything from poking around a little bit that you know, on this. But it is one very ridiculous. And I think CBS 58 deserves some criticism. Mm-hmm. The host of the host on WISN who brought this to the attention of the masses, Dan O'Donnell.
Tattletale.
He deserves a lot of criticism of this. Talking, you know, the right is always we're all about free speech. We're against cancel culture.
Except.
Yeah. And it's always so conditional. And it is just like, it's so much of it is just about cheering for their own team, mm-hmm. right? It is not actually about free speech as a principle. It is about just like trying to weaponize that to advance your political goals. Like it is just cheering for your team. And I was, you know, going back and forth with one of the folks from the newsroom from that station there on Twitter, and just like, aren't you guys, you know, against cancel culture? Aren't you guys for free speech? And it's just like, you know, well, read the room. And I'm just like, well,
what does that mean?
Yeah.
The room has a guy doing a Nazi salute in it. She read it perfectly.
Right. So I think that's part of it. You know, that, and people are directing a lot of criticism at CBS 58, and I think calling the newsroom and things like that. And I have to imagine this is putting a lot of people who had no role in the decision
without a doubt,
of just having to, you know, respond to this and whatever else. There's a lot of good reporters and people over there. And so I think that is a piece of this, too.
If you want to call and complain, call management.
Yeah.
And direct your calls to management, not the reporters in the newsroom. As you said, Dan, they had nothing to say about this.
Right.
They had nothing to say about
this. And I'll share a tiny bit of news that I was able to learn this week. A source from the CBS 58 newsroom told me the entire newsroom was disgusted when this happened.
Yeah. That they fired her.
Now, this went down the way it did.
What I'm about to say is not defending CBS 58. And I'm just trying to look at it from a couple of ways, because we all work in media. And
right.
even though
right, right.
we have private social media or personal social media, I should say, we also know that we are reflections of the company we work for. There's two things about this that make me go, I see why they did it. One, the cursing gave them leverage to do that. If it would have just been, if there had been no cursing, I think it would have been a little bit less. But also, and this is no dig at Sam at all, I don't know her, but because she's not a person who brings in big bucks advertising wise, I think it was an easy cut for them, because they're like, well, we have other meteorologists and she's not making millions of dollars a year for us. I see what CBS 58 thought was the good plan. I disagree with it. But yeah. When I saw the story, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. They would do that because they're gonna not do anything. The backlash at them, led by, I mean, I don't want to say his name, Tattletale. It would just become so much for them that they were either gonna fire her on Wednesday or they're gonna fire her this coming Monday.
And I think you make a very good point. Tragically,
yeah,
I have worked with people whose behavior within the building was abhorrent.
Yeah,
absolutely abhorrent. And because the ratings were good, they left him alone. So I know that happens without a doubt. Mm-hmm. So she was not enough of a revenue generator for them to forgive her or give her a week off, like has happened with so many others in the past. Let me just drop a few names, shall we? Mark Belling. Mark Belling got suspended for 5 days for something he said on the air. Jay Weber, most recently, calling Tim Walz's son a blubbering bitch boy.
2 weeks.
Got him
suspended. He was suspended for 2 weeks.
He was back in the air.
And he's back on the air, and everything is just.
And he gave one of those apologies where it was just like, I'm sorry if people were offended.
No, all he said was, I didn't realize the kid was disabled.
Right.
That was his response.
Right. He then did post a longer apology, which nobody took. They were like, yeah, nice try.
But I also feel, again, just from my own experience in the media industry, if she were a man, she wouldn't have gotten fired. I think they would have suspended her and then they would have brought her back. These guys stayed employed. Ted Perry also got in trouble.
Yep.
He was off for a week and came back.
And that was for criticizing Trump. That was for criticizing Trump. And Mark Belling, he got suspended for making disparaging comments about Latino Americans. Like, I remember all that stuff. But yeah, when we talk about the tattletale who brought this all to light, I'm like, what about your coworker who got a 2-week suspension for saying disgusting things about a child?
About a teenager.
Yeah. So yeah, it's I think someone said it on Pat's show. We should scoop her. Pat said it. He goes, we should scoop her up, Civic Media.
Somebody's going to scoop her up.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
I'm really interested to see what she says next because she's been quiet.
She has been
since
quiet.
Since this happened. I wonder if she's going to do a national media interview or like something like that. I'm interested to see, you know, kind of what she does next. And I wish nothing but the best for her. And shame on CBS for this. And shame on Dan O'Donnell for bringing this up. This is just absolute absurdity to be bringing this. And it's just like, to get back to like the Elon piece of this too, I feel like kind of he took an intentional approach here. Like, I think a lot of people saying that this is, you know, this looks like a Nazi salute. And it's just like, would any of you be comfortable standing up in front of your workplace or your classroom or whatever it might be and doing the same action that he did? I sure wouldn't. But at the same time, I do think he did it in a way that gave a nod to the neo-Nazi base,
which he needs. Yes.
And he seems to be approving of in a lot of ways, but gave him some plausible deniability so he could bash the media.
You know what his
I think that's what he did. I think this was intentional. I think this was trying to drive a narrative. And like, we have this Wisconsin connection to it at all. And with Sam Cuffell and what happened there. But I think this was intentional to try to bash the media.
Yeah.
Well, and his explanation that I saw this morning was that I'm getting all this criticism for offering my heart to people.
Right.
That's how he's playing us.
He's trying to play us.
They've been saying that for days, and that's when like a bunch of groups were like, we're not sure. And now a lot of groups said, now we're pretty sure. He's pushing his boundaries because he can, because he will get away with it, because he's Elon Musk. And whether he's autistic, that is beyond not an excuse. But also just
seriously, what it, like what?
Well, yeah, but they're manly men and manly men have different rules and you should all be abiding by manly men rules as determined by Fox's Jesse Waters. I want to get this in.
That's what we call folks before we
get to the break. It's called a segue. We have a clip from the manliest of manly men, Jesse Waters. Calvin, can you play that clip about the latest rule?
Because grocery prices are ridiculous. She just found out about inflation.
Kamala
Harris.
The New
York Post caught her grocery shopping with Dougie Fresh. What kind of husband goes grocery shopping with his wife?
Yeah.
Me.
John from Nutley, New Jersey. Smart men grocery shop with their wife. It's called price control. Touche.
Touche.
Diana. Boom. From Fremont, California. What kind of man goes grocery shopping with his wife? A good one. Okay, now this is getting a little out of hand here. You don't need to go grocery shopping with your wife. You should be able to exert price control from afar.
Yes, because she should be wearing a shock collar, for heaven's sakes, so you can keep those prices under control so she doesn't shop like crazy.
First of all, Jesse Waters, you never call him Dougie Fresh. He buys fresh produce, but that is the first Doug to you.
Manly men don't go grocery shopping with their wives, guys. Jesse said it. I'm sorry. I don't make the rules. He makes the manly men rules.
Dan, you're married?
I am.
I'm married.
And do you guys grocery shop with your wives?
Sometimes I go without her.
Sometimes I go grocery shopping with my wife and kids.
Oh, my God. I'm so disappointed in both of you.
I know. I went earlier this week with my wife and kids to Aldi.
Oh, my God.
Wisconsin Press Club, can you come collect your awards from this total beta male next to me?
Were people like pointing at you and laughing while you were in Aldi with your wife and kids shopping?
It was a controversial experience.
And there was a man in the corner just going, he's just exerting price control. He's just exerting price control. He's just exerting manly price controls.
Guys, do you grocery shop with your wives? 855-752-4842. I would love to hear from you. I genuinely would. 855-752-4842. Do you go grocery shopping with your wife? And do you use a straw? How humiliating.
People need to come context to that, Jane.
Jesse Waters says real men don't use straws.
You just throw the water or the drink
right
in your face.
You just take the malt and you go smash it in your face. Yeah. That's again... I'm just reporting the manly men rules. Mm-hmm. I can't make manly men rules.
I'd also like to reiterate the fact that this is like Jesse Waters, who's is CD list for Fox because they couldn't keep Tucker around, was supposed to be their Jon Stewart like a decade ago and failed. So he failed right to the top of primetime, and now he just gets to make these claims. He makes his manly declarations, I think, like every 3-4 months, and they're always fantastic.
I know, and he'll like chime in on parenting and stuff like that here and there, and I just like, I think he had one about maybe it was him or maybe Ben Shapiro or something like that. It's just like, oh, I've never done laundry since I've been married or
that's
something
not a
like
flex.
That. And it's just like, okay, so you're a bad partner and parent. Like,
no, you guys are they're manly men.
Yeah,
you guys have.
We need to connect to the manosphere and the bro podcasts and really bring back the masculinity of
men's rights.
That women all
adore. Grocery shopping with your family.
Right. I don't even like the fact this show is your show, Jane. I really feel like it. Can we get a Joe, Matt, and Aaron here, please?
My voice is low enough. Maybe I can just pretend.
You might want to hit that delay button or something. I'm not sure.
I heard something
exactly.
Dan Schaefer, I highly encourage you to subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. Award winning. He joins us every Friday. Thank you so very much, my friend. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me on a discombobulating week.
No, it's going to be a discombobulating couple of years.
Yep.
We're going to wrap up the show next with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Well, that bites edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Manly Man Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great-tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jim Bob, Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Nader on the board. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I just want to come back with a couple of great texts and comments on the live stream. Before we went to the break with Dan Schaefer, we were talking about Manly Men rules for manly men by the manliest of manly men, Jesse Waters from Fox. He says, men don't go grocery shopping with their wives. What's wrong with you? Andrew from Maine, most of our grocery shopping is done by me. Sometimes she comes along, sometimes she's sleeping because she works overnight. Tom from New Berlin, I go grocery shopping with my son-in-law. Carl from Eau Claire, I not only grocery shop with my wife, I even do shopping on my own. Good for you, Carl. Out there and face the dragon. Steve from Milwaukee, sometimes, but I usually go by myself. It's faster. Texter on WMDX, I used to be a professional chef. I do all the cooking at home. Therefore, I do all the shopping. And I'm also using a straw right now.
I'm surrounded by nothing but Nancy boys in this place. It's disgusting.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed for you. On the live stream, I wanted to share this from Tony. Again, Jesse Waters says men can't use straws. I'm just relaying the manly men rules. I don't make them. Tony says, I don't use a straw. I pick up a coconut and crack it open with my bare hands and drink that. You go, Tony.
Tony Smash!
You show him how to be a manly man. It's 11:53. That means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. This out of the Daily Beast. The author is Lee Kimmins. Headline reads, gang of swordfish attack and injure seven swimmers on popular beach. The beachgoers rush to the hospital with their feet and ankles covered in blood after the incident in southeastern Brazil. A group of swimmers attacked by a gang of angry swordfish. How do we know they were angry?
Maybe they weren't just,
they were just doing swordfish things.
Yeah.
A gang of angry swordfish on a popular beach in Brazil attacked a group of swimmers, leaving them with horrific injuries. The group rushed out of the water with their ankles and feet covered in blood. Initially, they thought it was a shark or a barracuda. One man whose son, 21-year-old, needed 4 stitches, said nobody could see the fish. Several people were playing ball in the sea, having fun, and then they all came running out saying they had been bitten by some animal. All the victims were rushed to the hospital. They've already been released. Experts say it's common at this time of year for swordfish, which have razor-sharp teeth, to swim close to the coast. The movement of the swimmers may have spooked them and caused them to launch their assault.
Look, first of all, whenever I think of a swordfish, I think of like a fish with a big old like long schnoz that has like a saw like type of thing, because that's what cartoons sold me.
Sure, right.
That's not what they look like. Also,
they do have very sharp teeth.
You are sort of in their house. And I understand you should not play and everything, but you also shouldn't be surprised if you get attacked. Or, I mean, they were defending themselves. They didn't know what you were. Maybe us being in the ocean shouldn't be a thing. Who knows?
Sharks would certainly say that.
Sharks would. Dolphins, they're insane.
Yeah, you have this anti-dolphin. You have a dolphin bias.
No, I don't have if anything, I'm disappointed in dolphin, because dolphin were always this wonderful sea creature that you could ride.
It's flipper.
Yeah, look up dolphin crimes, and you'll see how awful they are. They really are. They're kind of the worst.
There's our segment for next week. Let's pick on this animal.
This is not picking on an animal. This is hard facts from science.
Anyway, I guess the message to take away from this is just be aware of your surroundings at all times and don't tick off swordfish.
Yeah. And also, Tony on the live stream said, I'm 100% right on dolphin.
Well, we'll have to get on some. Are they cetaceans?
I'm sorry, what?
Whales are cetaceans.
I don't know what that means.
All right, we have to find out what species dolphins are. And then
they're
we'll
mammals.
See, they're mammals. We'll see if we can find a dolphin expert.
I'm a mammal.
We can break down the bad behavior of when dolphins behave badly.
I guarantee I'm going to take a picture of your face when you find out some of the junk they do in the water.
Dolphin crimes.
Dolphin crimes. High crimes and dolphin
meaners.
Coming
to a radio near you. All right, that wraps up today's episode of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
What a crazy week.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's already Friday, actually, but it is. We have news coming up next. Todd Allbutt takes over from noon to 2. Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4. Dom Salvia, 4 to 6 p.m. Pete Schwabe, 6 to 8. Check out Native Roots Radio from 8 to 9 p.m. Robert Pilot is the host. We had him on yesterday, if you missed it. Mm-hmm. And if you miss any of our shows, you can always find them on our website. Go to civicmedia.us and click on shows and click on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you Monday.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Big show on a Friday. Make sure to join us, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, former Wisconsin Badger Brady Ewing, and Peter Rapine of E-Bombs World. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy band.
It's painful concert number 3.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19.
We are the boy band.
always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. President Trump is in North Carolina, hit hard by a hurricane last year, saying he might scrap FEMA.
Whether it's a Democrat or Republican governor, you want to use your state to fix it and not waste time calling FEMA. And then FEMA gets here and they don't know the area. They've never been to the area.
Lisa Murkowski is one of two Republican senators who indicate they won't support Pete Hegseth for defense secretary. CBS's Errol Barnett.
Murkowski's statement reads in part, quote, "I remain concerned about the message that confirming Mr. Hegseth sends to women currently serving and those aspiring to join."
The White House says deportations began yesterday. Newark, New Jersey Mayor Roz Baraka is upset over a raid by customs agents at a business that he says swept up a military vet and some U.S. citizens.
"I was appalled, upset, angry that this would happen here in this state, in this country, that this would be allowed."
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
Join us live every